97.9 The Hill, WCHL, and UNC School of Media and Journalism present Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus, dedicated to in-depth examination of issues of overriding importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the Carolina campus, here's your host, UNC Journalism Professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, controversy involving the Russian Anti-Doping Agency. Our guest, Travis Tigert, head of the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency and a graduate of UNC. So, Travis, when I first read this article about the potential end of the suspension of the Russian Anti-Doping Agency, my first thought was, Russia had an anti-doping agency? And, of course, that's me being facetious. But everything we've heard about Russia in the past several years has been efforts to dope, not efforts to keep athletes from doping. So what's happening now with this possible end of the 3-year suspension of the Russian anti-doping agency?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, Charlie. It's great to be on your show again. And yeah, it is kind of ironic, I guess, isn't it, that the term anti-doping in Russia is something people are trying to take seriously. We've had some ground level work with the current Russian anti-doping agency. In fact, we were there this past weekend. Some of our employees around a UFC. I don't know if you know the mixed martial arts promotion, but we've run their global anti-doping program. And what's sad about this whole situation is the ground level forces at RUSADA, as it's known, the Russian anti-doping agency, are actually doing a really good job. They've turned, you know, their corrupt program that was at the direction of the sports minister in Russia, and they freed themselves, so they're now truly independent. And they're actually doing really good work. I mean, we were there to oversee and monitor the work they did at the UFC fight this past weekend. And it was fantastic. The problem is, it's the politicians, the leaders of that country who, you know, surprise, surprise, they're going to do anything almost to win, including bringing in the FSB, which is essentially their FBI, to figure out how to, you know, swap urine and samples, how to dope athletes, and how to cover them up through the laboratory. And all of that fell on the direction of the sports minister's office in Russia. And all of this has been well established over, you know, the past several years. And it's why everyone has been talking about the, you know, state-supported, state-directed, state mandate, however you want to ultimately characterize it, doping program that has been run there. And what's really sad still today, you know, 3 years later, is that the state folks won't acknowledge the situation. And frankly, I think athletes deserve an apology. I think athletes would appreciate that. But part of the condition for full reinstatement of Russia is to accept it and to acknowledge it. And then second is to give WADA, the World Anti-Doping Agency, access to the Moscow laboratory in order to get the data and the samples that are still in that laboratory that could allow justice to be put in place, literally against thousands of athletes around the world who have been robbed by this state-run doping program.
So if RUSADA has gotten its act together, but the politicians won't really allow RUSADA to do what it needs to do, what does it matter if there's RUSADA or not?
Well, what happened when they originally were suspended in November of 2015 is that the World Anti-Doping Agency said, in order to regain, you know, acceptance and compliance is the term, into Olympic sport, and for RUSADA to be compliant, meaning also Russia is compliant, then you have to do, you know, a litany of things. And a lot of those were very technical from a collection standpoint and ensuring independence from the sports minister's office. And they've done all of that. The last two remaining conditions to that, what's known as the roadmap for reinstatement, are that Russia has to accept the findings in the original McLaren report that uncovered this state-run, state-supported doping program. And then number two, you have to give WADA access to the Moscow laboratory in order to obtain the samples as well as the laboratory data. And that data is critically important because it relates to literally thousands of cases. There, from what I understand, are 4,500 athletes in that data whose samples have been analyzed by the Moscow laboratory from 2011 to 2015 that have what's known as a presumptive positive. Now, it could be, you know, a marijuana and not a serious doping violation, but we know there are serious doping violations within that data. So that data is really important to obtain in order to ensure, you know, the cases against individual athletes are successful and that ultimately justice, those athletes who were robbed by cheating Russian athletes, ultimately, you know, receive the recognition and the awards, whether it's medals or points or prizes or whatever it ultimately may be, if not just simply recognition, you know, to ensure justice is ultimately served. So right now, WADA, this tomorrow in Seychelles, the executive committee has a decision to make, and the recommendation suddenly changed in the last few hours, and it's what we've called a U-turn and an about-face, where they are now trying, WADA executive committee has to decide whether or not Russia has met those final two conditions. And on the face of the recommendation that's being given to the WADA executive committee tomorrow, they haven't met it. So the question becomes, is the WADA executive committee going to, you know, cave into the politics and just reinstate Russia without those final two conditions being met? And that's why you've seen this avalanche of support flowing to say, no, you can't do that. It's a last-minute change. They haven't met the final conditions. You can't move the goalposts and go easy just because it's a powerful nation that, you know, has been working every political lever they can to try to influence the outcome of the vote in their favor.
Sports Focus. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking with Travis Tigard of the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency about the possible reinstatement by the World Doping Agency of the Russian Anti-Doping Agency. And Travis, I don't want to fall into the alphabet soup here of USADA, RUSADA, WADA, et cetera, you know, so our listeners can keep up with things. But why would the World Agency even consider reinstating Russia?
I think it comes down to political influence. I mean, Russia has put more money into Olympic sport over the past, let's say, you know, 6 years, including, you know, 51 plus billion that went into hosting Sochi. They pay huge fees to have events there. They've played a long game in placing within the ranks of international federations, influential people, whether it's at the president level or the executive committees. And they're just, you know, I think, unfortunately, they've become, in the eyes of a few within the IOC, too politically powerful to fail and to be held accountable to the same rules that everyone else is held accountable to.
Yeah, we've heard that too big to fail argument before, I think, in other aspects of society. It seems to me that it's around the Olympics when the average person gets a bit interested in, well, what's going on with doping, especially when it comes to Russia. Kind of walk our folks through where we've been in the past several years, starting with Sochi.
Yeah, I like to go back to Balco, frankly, because I think Balco was, and that's the situation out in Northern California that, you know, had baseball brought in front of Congress and had a number of international level athletes from all around in various sports who were exposed. And I think that showed that these drugs and the win at all cost culture had taken over sport within the Olympics. But remember, the Olympics, while it happens every 4 years, summer and winter, so it's every 2 years now, it's the sports that the world competes in. So whether it's the New York Marathon, I mean, that's technically an Olympic event. Whether it's, you know, a cycling event that might happen in the Triangle, that likely will fall under what's known as the Olympic umbrella. And, of course, all the college sports that are not football, not necessarily basketball, fall under the Olympic umbrella. But I think it opened the eyes to the world that, hey, the win-at-all-cost culture is real and alive, and without some regulatory system, athletes and their coaches and trainers and chemists on the side are going to go to great lengths to try to win, even if that means break the rules. And so, you know, I think if you look at the efforts that have been established since that time period, and certainly in the last 5 years since the Armstrong case was exposed, you now see a new generation of athletes who have been brought up in that this win-at-all-cost culture is not acceptable, and you're only truly a winner if you win the right way. And yes, we want to win, and yes, we're hyper-competitive, and yes, we'll go to any length almost to win, but we're not going to cross the line and cheat to win because we know you're not, you know, truly a winner if you do that. And the risks of getting caught today, I mean, who would have guessed, right, 10 years ago, here we are, sport, talking about the exposure of a state-run doping program in Russia. That's pretty amazing, and it's amazing because there were two whistleblowers originally that had a nugget of truth that said, you know, fair play matters. There are people around the world that are trying to ensure clean athletes' health and safety in a level playing field. And you know what? We're sick and tired of this dirty system, and we're going to come forward with the truth. And unfortunately, it's, you know, that was exposed. And here we are, you know, yes, 3 years later, but still trying to deal with it in an effective fashion. But a whole lot of good has been gained through this entire process.
Again, from an outsider's point of view, just one who, you know, pays attention to world athletics events, we had some ramifications in Rio for what happened in Sochi. We had some in the, you know, athletes competing in the most recent Winter Games, athletes from Russia, not the Russian Federation. It seems more semantics than real punishment.
Yeah, well, for sure. I mean, we've been crystal clear. The IOC has put in no meaningful consequences, and they claimed a ban, but it was really a farce. I mean, they claim a ban, but you had 168, and this was a ban before Pyeongchang. After they refused to put one in advance of Rio, you know, 168 athletes from Russia still showed up at the Pyeongchang Winter Olympics this past February. You know, wearing the Russian colors and sort of a mockery of a statement or, you know, sponsor name on their jersey, rather, I guess, and all of that. So, and then they lifted the ban 3 days after the game. So it was about a, I don't know, 5 week ban in total, which is really just laughable. And look, that's the worry, because it's been exposed. We know what happened, but yet the consequence that ought to be put in place is not being put in place. And what that then means is others around the world, whether it's a state who wants to win at the Olympic Games to exert their national influence on the world stage, or individual athletes see, hey, you can essentially get get out a free jail card. Might as well cheat your way to the top and see if you ultimately get caught. And if you do get caught, nobody's going to really do anything about it. And that sends a horrible message. It's not the deterrent message that we need to be sent from the leaders of the IOC and from sport across the globe.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus and our discussion of doping and the possible reinstatement of the Russian anti-doping agency by the World Anti-Doping Agency. And we're talking with Travis Tigert of the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency. So, Travis, it's so discouraging because I don't, taking your most recent point, where if there's no punishment, or even if there's such a small chance of punishment, who isn't going to cheat?
It's what we've been most, you know, concerned about. And listen, if you're a clean athlete, I think it's a daily temptation because you want to win. The spoils of victory. We've created a system where, you know, the winner is lionized. The second place finisher, no one knows who they are. And, you know, money, fame, fortune, all that goes along with it. And so that part of the system, I think, has to be changed at some level to relieve some of the pressure. But so the pressure is real and it's live, and we hear it from athletes all the time. They're willing to do it the right way. And look, this world desperately needs, you know, principled Olympic heroes who are winning the right way, right? Like, we're desperate for it. Our kids need it. The world needs it more today than it ever has. But what happens when they're willing to do it the right way, and yet they lose, and they see someone else cheat their way to the top, and the system allows that to happen, knowingly allowing. It's been exposed. We have all the facts. There's no dispute about it, but there's no consequences put in place. Those athletes say, well, gosh, the people that are supposed to protect my right and my decision to do it the right way, they don't have my back. And so it makes it that much easier for them to justify themselves throwing in the towel. And that's what we're most worried about. We have to ensure that group of people, the ones that are trying hard every day to be truly, you know, Olympic heroes that we can all admire, we have to give them the support and protect them and not let, whether it's a, you know, corrupt country that exploits the games like we've seen in this Russia situation, or a high-profile global athlete like a Lance Armstrong in the Postal Service's case, or just a weakened warrior. Everyone should be held to the rules in a fair, consistent manner, and the consequences that flow from that ought to be put in place in a fair, consistent manner. That's all we're asking for.
Yeah, I'm blanking on the name of the U.S. swimmer who sort of wagged her finger at the Russian swimmer and essentially saying, you doped and I beat you anyway. But how many clean athletes would realistically get the chance to make that kind of statement? Because they're not going to win more often than not.
You're referring to Lily King at Lily King Olympics. And listen, we obviously have heard from her, and she was public with her comments, and we hear from athletes like that all the time. And unfortunately, I think what's more common is a Katie Ulander who got fourth in the sled event. She testified recently in Congress, and you know, it was a very emotional and difficult day for her and those that heard her testimony of coming in fourth to a Russian by, you know, a hair of a second. And the Russian was implicated in the state-run program, but the Russian up till now has been able to keep her medal. And so, you know, our heart obviously goes out to those victims. But our athletes, I think, are right where Lily King is. Look, we want to compete against the best, and we hear this all the time. We just want it to be a fair and even playing field. And look, doping is a temptation and an issue that every country has to address. So we're by no means saying, you know, our athletes aren't tempted to cheat, and some of them make the unfortunate decision to do so. The difference is we're doing everything here at USADA, an independent organization, not conflicted by the promotion and the policing aspect of sport. We're doing everything in our power and our authority to ensure that our athletes are clean, and that only clean athletes end up representing, you know, Team USA or any of the other teams that compete internationally around the world.
So let me go back to something you said at the very beginning, and it had to do with the people at RUSADA, the Russian agency, actually, you know, getting their act together, trying to do the right thing, but whether they'll be allowed by the real power brokers to do the right thing is another question. All that being said, do you support or do you not support the reinstatement of RUSADA?
No, until we have been crystal clear, until the final two conditions have been fully met, we do not support and do not think there should be a vote to reinstate RUSADA in Russia.
Do you think there will be?
I think it's coming down to the wire, to be quite honest with you. I've heard this morning that the government's, you know, the WAD Executive Committee is 50% support, 50% governments from around the world. Unfortunately, the U.S. does not have a seat at that table, but I heard this morning that it looks like the governments are going to be unified in voting against it, and that the sport, of course, are going to vote for it. So it may come down to a tie, and that means it wouldn't pass. But we'll ultimately see how that vote ends up going. I know sport's working really hard to try to get one of the government or more of the government officials to vote in their favor. So we'll ultimately see. But even if it goes, whichever way it goes, you know, the sun's still going to come up. But it will clearly show the conflicted governance at WADA and how we have to, moving forward, take the sport influence away from those who are attempting to police global sport, and that athletes can't, every time an important decision comes up at the World Anti-Doping Agency, athletes can't have, you know, shouldn't have to go through what they've just gone through, which is to mobilize and work over the weekend and exchange letters and talk to the press. You know, athletes deserve to just focus on what they do in training and competition and not have to worry about all this, but have trust in the system. And right now, they don't have trust in the system, and but for their willingness to mobilize to ensure a right outcome in this particular case, it wouldn't happen, and it still might not happen. And that's what's got to change, where it's not just a few powerful sport promoters that are not going to listen and do the best, what's in the best interest of clean athletes. We've got to change so that the governance fully reflects what clean athletes want and demand.
And that does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, Travis Tigard. Thanks also to engineer Gary Kirk. And as always, thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall at the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is the service of UNC School of Media and Journalism.